よいよい、飛んだよ。
Hello, everyone. We're here for Storytime Adventure, a special Moe edition. This story is about a high school detective who is at a theme park with who exactly? Who is he with? Mary, who is he with? 100 points. Can you know? Do you know who he's with?
A kawaii bishi? I don't know.
That was the easy one. It was his childhood friend. Okay. So high school detectives.
You mean his Osana Jimi?
What the fuck is that?
It's a Bulbasaur pen. See, like I'm holding it up to our camera, our video call. I thought you would be able to tell. It's from 1999.
You see? Wait. Okay. I don't want to interrupt you, but did you see what Bulbasaur looks like in that Detective Pikachu thing? Holy shit!
Hey, dog.
It's fine.
I'm sorry, I didn't know it was your guys' podcast. I'm sorry.
Now it's our story.
Okay. So anyways, these two are at a theme park together. They're totally not in love or anything. But then the high school detective sees these two shady people, and he thinks they're the one who committed a crime that he solved. So he goes and follows them, but then they caught him. But who are these? What are these two people wearing? Tuna, do you know the answer? What color of clothes are they wearing?
Red?
No, you guys are bad. It's black, because they're from the black organization. But then they caught the high school detective, and they forced him to take poison. And what did this poison do to the high school detective, Albie? What did the poison do to the high school detective?
It makes him laugh.
No, no, it makes them small. And you know why it makes them small? It's this story is Detective Conan. There you go. That's the very first episode of Detective Conan.
That's a long bit, my dude. I don't know. It's a long one.
I'm just saying, Detective Conan is a very good show. I got all caught up with it. They're like when the episode 930. I'm all cut up now. They recently had their big arc where in high school, the high school was having their school trip, but fucking Shinichi was still a child, but he wanted to go because he's in love with Ron.
Okay, sure.
And
that's weird.
But he needed to go. This is a school trip. So he takes the antidote that makes him temporarily an adult, and it's fucking epic because he's usually Conan. That, you know, obviously what? Does.
Why doesn't he just take that every day? Like, what?
Because it works temporarily, and
you can take medicine like more often. Does it have side effects?
And it only works. It only lasts shorter if he takes it repeatedly.
Oh, so he like builds up a tolerance.
Yes, exactly. Also, it's very painful. So, and also he can't let people know he's alive because the organization thinks he's dead, but it only turned him into a little kid.
You know,
so he has to say as a little kid.
It's been 20 years. They should know by now.
So, yeah. You see, look, there's a new guy. You have a guy named Rum. So, by the way, all the bad people in the organization are named after alcohol.
Right, Jin.
Organization 13, Jin. Sure, all right. Gonna open the Kingdom Hearts.
We don't know Rum is yet. It could be the fucking new high school, elementary school teacher. There's a teacher who acts clumsy, but she's really very good at martial arts. It could be her, or it could be the new Tokyo police chief. The guy who had, because what we know is Rom has one eye, and this guy only has one eye. So Shinichi secretly thinks it might be him, but we don't know yet.
You know, speaking of one eye, I know a man who had no eyes. And it's a transition. Take it. Go.
Why are you doing this? What? No.
Take the transition. It's got no eye.
Detective Conan. I don't know. This is our Detective Conan
anime,
podcast.
This is an anime podcast.
Detective Conan is anime.
Yeah.
See? Exactly.
It is anime.
Well, it sounds like you want to talk
middling,
about...
but...
Hey. Sounds like you want to talk about Dororo.
Dororo?
Dororo. So how about you talk about Dororo, Albie?
Is it Dororo, or is it...
It's Dororo.
Dororo.
Inga named it that because when he was a kid and would hang out with kids, they had trouble pronouncing the word Dorobo, which is thief. And instead they said Dororo. And so, yeah, that's the story of the name for some reason.
So this kid has nothing. He's also
a thief.
He's a Spoilers. Thief also. Yes. He steals things. He's cursed, right? It's cursed by...
No, Hyakkimaru is
the one. Oh, Hyakkimaru, right, okay. That's right. Okay. Yes.
Learn the names. Okay. Goodness. Listen. Or at least load up a Wikipedia article okay, or
that's
something.
That's true. What's the... Never mind. I don't want to know. Anyway, so this is...
Oh, look at your fancy book you have.
Osamu Tezuka book? You can't see this. It's an audio podcast.
Yeah.
But,
exactly. So we're trying to do this.
Dororo is a Tezuka thing, and I've been kind of curious to get into this because this is one of the animes that I don't think we mentioned it during our last show, but
we did. I brought it up as one of the shows I was anticipating.
Oh, really? Good. Okay.
Yeah.
But I'd always been kind of curious to get into the show mainly because. Tezuka's like this
Why?
Thing, this monolith of the anime world that I've never really had much of a tie to. I've never really watched many of his shows. I know Astro Boy was really big, but there has been one that I've been like, oh, I'm going to get into this show. And this was kind of the one that I was like, oh, finally we have a modern interpretation of a Tezuka work that I can watch. It looks good. It's a good looking show.
It looks okay. It has kind of a muted palette, I would say. Like, and a lot of the fights, I was surprised, don't actually look that great. There will be occasional interesting looking fights. But for the most part, it seems like they employ a lot of tricks to where they don't have to actually animate crazy demon monsters going after Hyakkimaru. So I am a little disappointed considering that the studio animating this is MAPPA and they did Banana Fish last year, which necessarily, I mean, it wasn't the most outstanding looking animation wise, but I feel like it was a little better than this. I don't know. I'm just being picky. I just don't understand why Tezuka stuff seems to get, like, it's not as lavish as I would imagine for his reputation in the anime industry.
Yeah, you would think, I mean, it kind of goes beyond this. Like, I think this show is good. I think it's not a fun show, but it's an entertaining show to watch. I really enjoyed it. Both from kind of an academic standpoint of somebody who's heard about Tezuka stuff and also as somebody who just likes these kind of action-y shows. But yeah, you never really get many of his shows and any kind of big budget thing. You would almost expect someone like, what's the studio that does JoJo again? Like, I think they would be really good at transitioning some of his work into animation because they kind of get... the groundwork, the legwork you have to do to adapt one of those kind of shows.
I'd like to see Studio Wit do a fancy one, personally. But yeah, I enjoy it. I have read some of the comics, and there are some liberties with this show that it's not like a totally one-to-one faithful adaptation of the comics, which is fine. Because the comics get kind of out there. There are some weird moments of, like, humor where he, like, sometimes breaks the fourth wall to the reader, which may not necessarily fit with the tone that they're going for in this show. But in episode 4, the story about the cursed swordsman, that has a different ending in the comic than it does in the anime.
Oh, really?
And I actually prefer the comic ending. Hmm. Yeah. It's about a guy with white hair and a cursed sword, and I'm kind of wondering.
Inuyasha?
No, I was thinking more Elric, the Elric series by Michael Moorcock, which was published in the early 60s. The comic was out in the late 60s, so I wonder if he ripped it off, the whole cursed sword, thirsting for blood thing. But the way that is resolved in the comic is that the guy with the cursed sword is all like, oh, you want blood? Well, here's the last you'll get. And he stabs himself with it.
Oh.
Yeah, and I thought that was a much better ending than just Hyakkimaru, like, cutting the sword in half. After he does that, the demon inside the sword comes out, and then Hyakkimaru kills that. And I kind of, I don't know, it seemed more poignant in going along with the whole cursed sword kind of thing. Like, it always ruins the owner kind of thing. But other than that, I'm enjoying it a whole lot. It's one of my favorite shows this season, which is good because not much this season I actually wanted to watch.
Really?
So, yeah, a lot of stuff I skipped over. Maybe they were actually good. I don't know, though, because I would rather play Tetris 99.
Okay, yeah.
That's good. Yeah, and this is just a very brutal anime. Hey, okay.
It's intense.
It's pretty violent and gruesome at times. There's a lot of limb severing, and the whole premise of the story is pretty messed up.
I mean, it's one of those things where you wonder about this studio after having done Banana Fish, and now this. Like, are they trending towards those kind of shows that are not necessarily edgy, but kind of brutal in a way?
Well, they also did a Zombieland saga last season, too. So they have room to do different things, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah, I like the show as well. Looking at the original work, it does make sense that it went for this consistent tone. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at the manga, you have, as you said, like a bunch of humor in it. And the art style is like typical for him, but he tries to add in more serious elements in a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like adapting that to an anime would be really hard to pull off and like still have the same effect.
For sure. And the last two episodes, the story with the orphan children, like I could maybe use a little bit of humor in there to lighten some stuff up because it's very rough, but it is very effective at creating that atmosphere and tone, and just Hyakkimaru and his development as a character. It's a really interesting show, and I think it'll be good this season.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, the last episode, once I finished watching it, I just started screaming, fuck you.
Yeah, and I know you would hate that.
It was something for sure. I liked it a lot, because I think it does a good job, you know. It doesn't seem grotesque or anything. Well, it does. But it's more like they earned it.
It's not like gratuitous or reveling in the, oh, look at this, his leg got bit off.
Damn.
Sorry, mic issues. It felt earned and just. And also, they set up the world to be a fucking brutal place, so it doesn't seem out of place, though it's still just a very heart-wrenching scene for sure. Anybody have anything else to say?
No, I think that's good for me.
It's a very good adaptation, it seems like. And to, like, bring it into a modern era, I think it's doing a very good job.
Let's wait to see it on our anime of the year list. Ooh. No?
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Maybe. I don't know about the opening, though. The music is kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
It's hype. Oh.
I definitely started skipping that one over pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Fine, then. But what in the opening that you won't be skipping... Mob Psycho 102, right?
Oh, yes.
Sure. This is, yeah.
It's a good show, but I skip the opening just because I want to watch the actual show more.
That's fair. And it's probably not as good as the first opening. No. Yeah.
But
it's very good.
But the show,
it's very good.
But the show itself, Tuna, you want to talk about it for us?
The what show itself.
What is the show?
What is Psycho?
I never heard of it before. What is it?
It's a show about a dude who has superpowers and he defeats all his enemies with one... Wait, no.
It sounds like he's probably very overconfident and probably has a big ego.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Oh. The ton of friends.
Oh, sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm really impressed so far with the second season of Mob Psycho. They definitely went in the direction of, like, developing the characters more, which, looking at, like, I had never read the original work, and looking at One Punch Man and where that went story-wise, I'm actually surprised how good the writing has been so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good character development from both Reigen and Mob as well, especially the last arc.
Yeah,
that was... Although that stuff, I mean, we can get into the minutiae of it a bit, but that was a little, I don't know, like the mobbing stuff and him spending 6 months in that alternative reality. It was a little extra with the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I did dig the visual aesthetic in there. It looked really cool for that entire episode.
It definitely seemed like it turned full Akira. Like they were trying
to... Oh yeah.
Bob into Tetsuo.
Like, yeah, when he turned into %.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the visuals at the end, like when the fight time happened. Yeah, that episode was great.
Yeah, from an animation standpoint, the show is like from the first episode on. Like you, oh right, they are really good at this. It's so unique, and they do such a good job of animating everything.
It's a show where the budget's probably on par with some movies, where it's obviously spent a bunch of money on the animation. It's
for sure.
It's amazing, honestly.
There's a lot of great camera work in that show too. Like changing perspective and angles, and then you have the fun holographic sticker effects that were in the first season as well.
Yeah, I love those whenever they come up. And just casually switches to Sakuga mode when a fight comes up. Like the one at the lake in episode, what was it, 3 or something?
Mm-hmm.
But going back to that last arc with the demon who was possessing the high school girl, and it's like, the first time, it's probably one of the first times where Mob was facing somebody who's probably was stronger than him. They even said he was probably stronger than him. They did a very good job of having somebody actually can probably beat Mob, but then making it so Mob was able to beat him, though not through traditional meme, but through more of a mental battle, some might say.
Mm-hmm.
And also having the help of his friends to help him. And I think that other than that, like battle scenes, but there hardly been any battling. And I think what Tuna's been saying, like, I think the season's been doing a great job of fleshing out the characters. Mm-hmm. Even with the latest episode doing more on expanding the backstory of the master, the character, the very his shady backstory. I think it's
right. I do hope that leads into some bigger story arc for the rest of the season.
Yes.
Something that expands like 4 or 5 episodes.
Yeah, I think they're doing, and like for like the first season, they sort of that they did that where like the last half of the season was one arc.
Right.
So I think they might do the same thing with the season where some mini arcs throughout the first half and then second half, maybe bring back that organization and what. Mm-hmm.
Well, there was that one guy there, and yeah, he seemed like he was up to something.
And the sword guy is in the intro, too, though.
lot of organization talk lately. A lot of organizations.
Yeah, like the Men in Black, you know. They gotta keep make sure people don't know about them aliens.
Yep. You know. Like the Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Or
the children eating demons.
Yeah, I love eating demons. Very
Just like that one anime.
Uh-huh.
Right.
The Promised Neverlands. I know what you're getting at. That's a nice toss-up there. Why can't we do good toss-ups, Stouten?
No.
We're bad at making podcasts. if you were here an hour before, you would know.
And the person who keeps editing the doc, I'm going to literally stab you. So, literally going to stab you. So, The Promised Neverland.
How'd you like that episode one twist, huh, buddy? You enjoy that one?
You know, I was expecting it, though. Because, you know, obviously...
Yeah. You can tell it's going to go bad.
A story about a bunch of orphans on a farm. You know, it probably wouldn't be very, very exciting if it was just that. If I had to guess.
But they're cattle.
Yeah, my mind definitely went to cannibalism, but when those demons showed up, like, they were pretty out there, those designs.
Yes. For that
remainder of the episode, I was pretty surprised that this got pitched and accepted for Shonen Jump. Although, I guess, I don't know. They get away with some weird stuff there.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, Trigger show. That's not very. It's also in a sort of post-apocalypse.
Right.
Anyways, so this highly popular weekly shonen jump manga finally is getting his adaptation. And it's about, you know, a bunch of orphans who need to escape this farm because they're a farm. They need to escape this orphanage because it's actually a farm. You see.
It's a prison.
I getcha.
And it's so far I think it's been pretty really good job. Well, I have some nitpicks with it. Mainly I think it's actually sort of it's going very slow, honestly. People like to say, "Oh, this is very slow." Well, but for me this is because the characters I know they're a bunch of little kids, so it's hard for me to really sympathize with them.
Sure.
I like them as characters. And the plot's very. The plot's like, we known since the end of the first episode they need to escape, and we're on episode 6 and they're still haven't yet. So I'm just like, I'm sort of just waiting here. Like, when are they going to escape? Like, we know they have to play in it, but you know, when are they going to escape?
Yeah,
I personally didn't mind that because it feels like a more of a horror suspense story rather than some kind of action thing. So it has been slow for sure, but the writing has made sense so far, at least. If you consider the fact, okay, yes, these are 11-year-olds plotting this stuff out, and the one dude who has been, what was it, he was 6 years? So since he was 5 years old, he was the mother spy. Like, sure, buddy. But besides that, I'm really digging the atmosphere. Like, I'm usually not a fan at all of horror anime, but this one actually really pulls it off, and visually as well.
Yeah, it's like some of these moments, obviously did it's like almost anime doesn't do this, like for like a very intense show where they will set up scenes to just be like how they do it in Hollywood and stuff like that, where they use first person camera, so like walking upstairs, heading through the room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lost your audio.
Don't worry, my new PC will fix all of this, right?
Obviously. Everything.
Anyways,
great.
The magic of editing that's all been gone. so they set up a lot of scenes yeah. to, because we know, like, at any moment, these kids is probably killed, because the overseer being named Mom can obviously easily, like, take them away So, we know at any moment, everything just goes to shit. I obviously won't, because they're main characters, but, they do a good job. What I'm trying to get at, yeah, it's like, the atmosphere, that word everybody uses.
Yeah, there are some scenes where they make it seem like somebody's eavesdropping, but maybe that isn't the case. And then other scenes where it doesn't seem like that's the case, but they totally are. And they do play around with that a lot, I think. They fool the viewer sometimes with edits as well. There was one scene where, who was it? What's her name? The girl with the glasses? I think Kay?
Sounds right. Ray? Kay? Jay?
I'm so sorry. I forgot.
Isabel?
No. Isabel is the mother, I think. No, she left the dorm room and then it cut to a paper being slipped underneath the door.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, oh, okay, she's the traitor. Like, she's a spy and feeding her info.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just went on, and you thought, okay, yeah, my suspicions were correct. But it did a pretty good job of tricking me there. It definitely got me.
Gilda was her name.
Gilda, right.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually didn't notice that. I always thought she was a traitor, but yeah, I guess...
No, she was just, like, going to the sister's room, which was ordered to, but it was unrelated.
Okay, yeah, I guess you're right.
I think so, yeah.
And they're doing good.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
I think they're doing a decent job of reminding us that these are still kids. On the latest episode, one of the kids, Don, he was one of the oldest ones. He's still doing stupid things, because, he was told, not to, go into, Mom's room and, try to find the secret room in a room, but then he does it anyways, because, obviously his emotions, overwhelmed him. It's doing a good job of reminding that these are still, 12-year-olds, at most.
Yeah, he's the stand-in for the reckless protagonist, who, yes. I guess the main character is a bit, but... The main three are pretty smart.
Yeah.
Which is usually not the case in shonen stories.
Yeah, I know, right? Fucking Goku.
They're very calculating usually, so to have him there, I think a lot of people are probably not going to like him, but I feel like he serves a pretty big, important role there.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm just waiting for the first kid to get killed. I'm just waiting for that moment.
Mm.
Excited. When they escape and half the kids get killed, I'm excited.
Yeah, I feel like next episode probably gonna have something, given the cliffhanger at the end.
Well, I read some of the manga for this. Mm. Not a lot of kids die for a while. At least that I remember. Spoilers.
Well, I'll stop, I guess.
No, it's okay. Keep going. It's good. I think, yeah, I don't know.
But who does die? Tell us.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to spoil.
We pretty much did.
So. I'm not spoiling it. I'm just saying you're not going to get an Attack on Titan. Oh, God, they're getting eaten alive. Everything's horrible. That's just not, big death thing is not happening. At least for a while. So, there you go. I kind of fell off reading this show, so I've been interested in kind of watching the anime because it's I don't know, a chance to kind of get back into it in a way. So I've been enjoying it. It's been good. Serving its purpose.
It's one of those shows like Cuckoo last year where it's a very good show, a very excellently made show, but it's just for me personally, I don't have any attachment to it, so I'm not emotionally invested into it. But I can recognize it's a very good production wise. But I will still be watching. Personally,
I'm definitely super into it. I'm probably, mm-hmm. the moment the season finishes, I'm probably going to just read all the manga chapters or something.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, that's a big...
I'm into this kind of story.
And that's a big problem so far. Is like, it's a very popular manga still, but it's only been out for a couple years. So there's not a ton of source material. So this is only going to be one core. And then they're probably going to have to wait at least a couple years to do more anime. So...
Yeah...
They probably just jumped a gun on making the anime, I feel, but...
Yeah, I had the same thing happen with Haikyuu, and then I just read all the chapters.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is getting a new season this year, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Excited.
It's probably going to be one match.
Woo!
Or two.
Probably.
Yeah. It's going to be actually,
yeah, I think there's another camp thing happening.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But... Make sure to watch all the movies for us. But you guys know what time it is, right? The time of the podcast.
For a show Apex. I actually watched.
Wow.
No.
No. Well, it's
Magic.
No. No. God.
Hollow Knight.
Okay. This was a hyper. Okay. Talk. Okay, it's movie midway half hour show. We were talking about the movies me and Mary watch. Hey Mary, you watched the movie, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I saw Battle Angel Alita, which I think is ordered differently for the movie title technically, but I probably should have looked that up. I don't know. Whatever.
I think it's called Alita Battle Angel here.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
European thing.
Or as I like to call it, bam, her eyes are big. The movie.
Yeah, well, if you see, they actually mess with the eyes and they don't look quite as messed up now. They didn't actually shrink them, though. They just made the pupil iris section larger, so she looks more like a normal anime-eyed lady instead of just weird.
But why?
I don't know. They don't really explain that in the movie at all either. So, whatever. But yeah.
And she's the only one that looks like that?
Yeah, none of the other cyborg people have that.
I wanted to see Mahershala Ali with anime eyes.
Yes. Oh, man.
That would have been good.
Oh, man.
Spoilers for the movie, but they do some certain things with his eyes. So, yeah, that happens. Yeah. I actually enjoyed the movie quite a bit. My favorite anime adaptation since Speed Racer, I would say. They combined a lot of different elements from the manga, the OAV that came out in 1993, and also just some original story elements to make the movie flow better on its own, too. I really enjoyed it.
Great.
The only thing I would complain about really would be the fact that it ends and you're just like, okay, now show me the rest of the story that you guys were talking about throughout the rest of the movie. It's kind of unsatisfying that way. Like, there's definitely an ending, but it hints at so much more and it reveals a whole lot more right at the very end as well, too.
Honestly, I actually didn't know this was based off a manga.
A very long-running manga that has had, like, several different forms, and they've actually incorporated stuff from each version of the manga in there, surprisingly. The other complaint I would have is that they made Alita's romantic interest, Hugo, way too sympathetic in this version. In the original OAV and in the manga, he was actually ripping spines out of people with an axe. And they just made it to where he was taking robot parts off of people and then selling those. They actually even made him show up and like try and quit the gang before other story things happened. they just generally tried to make him way too sympathetic a character, and I didn't really think that worked. Like, part of the story was Alita or Gally just being a stupid teenager, kind of, and falling for a guy that was not necessarily great for her. I also appreciated in the movie they call her Allie sometimes too, because the character's name originally is Gally, so Allie and Gally, that kind of worked pretty well. But yeah, I was just surprised how well they adapted all of that material and crammed so much of it into like 2 hours. It was cool in 3D. That one cyborg guy's crazy claw weapon worked really well. They had a lot of the same exact story beats, even some same exact lines that were in the old like 1996 dub of that OAV, which really surprised me. Because I watched that old dub on YouTube, like, right before I went to the theater. So I was like, wow, they actually said that thing about hunter warriors and love and mercy. And that was a cheesy line, but it kind of worked in the movie. Yeah, I would say be prepared for bad things to happen to dogs.
Oh, no. Not, I mean, Rover. Fantastic. What? Why Rover? Yeah. Oh, no.
The OIV is a little worse for that. Kind of make it up in the live action movie. It's not as...
Are they robot dogs?
Yes.
Okay,
are.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
They're fake dogs. Okay, right, that's fine.
So this is like super protector to Contra.
Yes. A little bit, yes. But I will just say there's some stuff that's not shown in the OAV that turned to off-screen violence in the movie. Because it is PG-13. But
sure.
Which is surprising since it's Robert Rodriguez, right? Robert Rodriguez directed this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And you can definitely tell, like, it has his touch in there. Michelle Rodriguez, I think, is her name. She is also in it, in a small role. He uses her a lot. It was a pretty damn good movie, and I was surprised the amount of violence they actually did get away with. Like, I don't want to spoil some of the stuff that happens that also happened in the manga, but I was surprised they actually did it, even though they're cyborg dudes. Like, yeah, I really recommend people watch it. Cool. It's pretty neat. Even Gary liked it, and I was surprised. He likes Speed Racer too. So
is this the best anime adaptation? I wanted to ask.
Right now I would say yes.
Really? Like, even better than
I really
Speed
like
Racer?
Speed Racer a lot. But
Speed Racer is pretty good.
It is. This seems like more accessible to a wider amount of people. Like, Speed Racer is pretty goofy. You have to be able to like deal with that. This is definitely more fantastical, and the whole cyberpunk world they set up is definitely like edgy or whatever. But I think like my little brother, who is into Resident Evil and doesn't watch anime, would still like this too. Mm-hmm.
So better than Ghost in the Shell.
Oh yes. God, yes. It's
that's not even a question.
Better.
I honestly forgot it existed for a second when you said like the best one since Speed Racer. Yeah. My mind went blank.
It should, because you should not store any memory of the live action Ghost in the Shell in there, because God.
I'm glad I didn't spend any money to watch that.
It was okay. Yeah. It was not that bad.
Yes, it was. It was bad.
It was fun.
Scarlett Johansson is too stumpy to be the main.
Wow.
I'm sorry. They should use CG on her legs or something. I know that's rude and shallow, but no.
Damn.
Well.
And just the whole everything in that movie. The backstory. The only thing that was halfway decent was the fucking spider tank. And that was barely.
I see. You have some hot takes. Though, unfortunately, it seems like Rotten Tomatoes is saying that people don't like Alita too much.
Is that the user reviews or whatever?
No, user reviews is 93. The critics' reviews are not great. Well,
I would look up the critics' reviews for Ghost in the Shell, too, and compare it to that. And even Speed Racer was pretty much critically panned.
Yeah.
I think critics just, I don't know, it's not their style, typically. But this worked really, really well. And I want to play Cyberpunk 2077 after watching this because, yeah, they set up the world so well. And I hope that game is close to this. I was very impressed.
That has me excited.
Yeah, like just the amount of backstory they crammed in there and just story beats directly from the OAV that was original to the OAV. Like, I was totally surprised. It does a very good job making, yeah.
Cool.
All of it except for the love interest dude. That was kind of dumb. He, I don't know. Maybe he's just not hot enough for me or something. Maybe I'm biased.
That's surprising, actually, because I thought I honestly didn't really want to watch this, but I kind of want to do now.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I definitely recommend it. I don't know if you necessarily have to pay the extra money for 3D. I got a new contact lens prescription recently, and I was surprised that 3D movies in a movie theater actually work for me now. And so I was glad I watched in 3D just to learn that, I guess. But it's not super necessary. You can see it normally.
Okay. How many theaters force 3D onto you in the States?
All of them, but there are typically like 3D showings and 2D showings. You don't have to go see the 3D version most of the time. Not like when it first rolled out and it was 3D or buff.
Yeah. I had to watch Spider-Verse in 3D when it first came out because it wasn't out in the smaller theaters, which didn't have 3D projectors. So I had to pay the extra. And that was a bit weird. I don't know.
You know, it just depends on what theater you like to go to. And
yeah. How many screens they have available is definitely a factor. I saw Spider-Verse in 2D. It was
very good.
Like, you can watch it in 3D or 3D Ultra Screen DLX.
Oh. I mean, with the rumble seats.
What about, the 4XD? Dolby. That's what we have.
Exactly, with the IMAX 3D, with the 4X, exactly, you mean.
Yeah, what's the thing called that Jeff always talks about? The Real D? Yes.
Real
what is it called?
D, the special, 3D, yes.
The special chairs?
Yes, the rumble
seats.
They're terrible.
I've been what it's called. Your face.
Yeah. Where you pay like $40 for a ticket?
Yes.
It's like fucking ridiculous. Anyway, we could talk all day about watching movies in 2019.
D-Box, that's it.
Yes.
D-box.
I did that for Pacific Rim.
I think we have D-Box here. I should try that sometime. Speaking of D-Box, does anybody have...
Yeah, well, hey.
Is there an anime?
Yeah.
Can you let... hey, I'm the host here. I know you're new here, Tuna, but...
Anime.
You gotta let me talk about this shitty movie called I Wanna Eat Your Pancreas.
No.
And let me tell you, I do not want to eat your pancreas.
No.
Ma'am, keep it in your body. I know you died. Keep it in the body.
Whoa, is that spoilers? Or...
Spoilers, main character dies.
It's about pancreatic cancer, so I assumed, yeah.
To be fair, the first scene is literally her funeral, so you...
Okay.
And to be fair, I'm going to spoiler warning. I'm going to be spoiling the fuck out of this movie because nobody should see this movie because it's not very good. Do any of you want to watch this movie?
I mean, maybe eventually. I want to see a silent voice way more. Because I haven't.
Fine. So this movie is basically these two people meet up. They meet up at a hospital. One is for like a checkup and. Basically, and the other one, because he has a pancreatic cancer. The guy, he's very, shy, and he doesn't talk to people. He's one of those book people, those book people.
Nerds.
Nerds. And she's very, you know, hyper, easygoing. I don't know. Word. But then he finds out about her disease, which she doesn't want to tell anybody about it, because obviously telling somebody you have a mortal disease that's going to kill you, it's not very, you know, fun. But then he finds out, and then she wants to spend more time with him, because he finds out, and he's one of the few people who knows. And basically the story is them getting to know each other more, and him learning to be more opening and whatnot. Sorry, I just remembered the big twist. Oh, fuck, man. I wanna...
Go ahead. You can spoil it. Don't spoil
Can I say this twist?
Do you guys want to hear a twist?
Spoiler warning.
Spoiler.
If you don't want to hear the twist.
Cover your ears. I've already heard this. You can hold it.
You're in the movie. She's in the hospital because, you know, something flared up. And then, and during this time, he learns that he actually really likes her. And he wants to be more time with her. And then once he comes out of the hospital, he's waiting for her at a calf. She never shows up. He's like, what the fuck happened to her? I hope she's okay. He goes home. The news happens. And turns out she died because apparently somebody stabbed her. A serial stabbed her.
What?
Stabbed her.
Wow.
And it's like, oh, twist. She didn't die from her pancreatic cancer. She died from somebody stabbing her. And I'm like, what? Okay. All this emotional buildup you've been trying to make with her dying from the disease, he's just throwing it all away because twist, she'd actually died from somebody stabbing her. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Do they do anything with that? Or
they quickly like run over like him being shocked, then her funeral scene happens again very quickly, and it's like it ends in like 5 minutes later. Then he groans to like he reads her diary, he gets very sad.
Of course.
And then he goes to her best friend and said, I want to be your friend. And then it...
Okay. Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, what the fuck?
I feel like you're just shocked more than anything still by it. Not necessarily like it was a bad movie.
No, it's a bad movie. Generally, the writing is not very great. Like, the two main characters are decent, have a decent relationship. All the supporting characters are terrible. Everybody hates the main guy, all because he's fucking he doesn't talk to people. Everybody thinks he's like a terrible person. Her best friend thinks he's a terrible person and hates how she's hanging out with him. Because, oh, he doesn't talk to people. He must be a terrible person. Her ex-boyfriend, who fucking was very, like, demanding on her, so she broke up with him. He comes back. He, like, punches him at one point when they're outside her house. Right before the scene, they were both in her room. And at one point, she was joking, like, flirting with him. So then he pushed her on the bed. Because, you know, he can't be slightly sexually forward with somebody before he pushes you onto the bed and tries to rape you. It possibly can't happen. The guy can't control his sexual urges whatsoever. Great writing, you guys.
Well, I mean, maybe he knows she's gonna die soon, so you gotta get it while the getting's good.
Exactly, you know. Overall, the movie's very tropey and terrible writing. Overall, it has a feeling of just inadequate, production, writing. I would say the one good thing about it is there's some very good animated scenes that are actually very, very technically well animated. I don't describe however you want. It's clear that like these, that there's a lot of frames was put in the animation. It's very beautiful. But other than that, yeah, it's a very. Also, I watched this in a theater. Support your local anime films. Thank you. I watched it in a theater, and in the first 20 minutes was just a fucking, just all the people who worked on it talking about the movie. And I'm like, and they're talking about like specific scenes in the movie.
Spoiling right beginning it?
Yeah, right before I'm about to watch this movie. I'm like, why is this happening? Did you need to fill out the 2-hour airtime? And so, that was very weird. That was not a good start to the movie that I didn't end up liking much. So yes, A Silent Voice, I think, is fantastic. This movie, not so much. End scene.
Okay.
Thanks for the movie session.
Mary.
Movies. Good for you.
I'm sorry. I'm just gotta get my energy back up. Hey, Mary, you want to talk about Rinshi Ekodachan?
Rinshi Ekodachan. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah, this is an interesting series. I'll put it this way. It's on Crunchyroll right now. I guess check your local listings, whatever. But it's basically a short anime. But if you'll look at Crunchyroll, you will see like the episodes are around 20 minutes long. And that's because the first section of the show is a 3 to 5 minute short. And then the rest of the episode is an interview with the director of that episode and the voice actress for the main character. Also with a little art segment at the very end that takes up about like 2 minutes. And if you are an animation nerd and you want to know what goes into actually making a show and voice actress like direction, like, I would definitely recommend this show, even if the content of, like, she's a modern woman, it's Sex in the City, or, like, girls or whatever, but anime, and also kind of like Abichu, but there's no cheese-obsessed hamster in it. Like, it's very much that kind of show. I have not read the manga, which started in 2005, but, yeah, the basic premise is that they get 12 different distinguished directors. They pick a voice actress for Ekodachan and they make a short based loosely on the manga sometimes. One of my favorite episodes was the weirdest. It was episode 3. The director normally does like Crayon Shin-chan. He also did the 80s Osomatsu-san. The main character, Ekoda, when she comes home, she basically hangs around her apartment naked the whole time.
Okay.
Because, you know, that's what you do when you're in your mid-20s. you strip and you just hang out. So he decided to make all of the characters animal people. So that way he didn't have to worry about the character being naked the whole time and being on TV. I thought that was really clever. He talked about how in a scene he wanted a character smoking a cigarette, but they weren't allowed to do that. So she was taking a selfie instead. Just like interesting stuff on how you actually animate a show and what goes into that. Episode 6 is totally rotoscoped and they go into the details on making that. And the director of that talks about how he wanted to have a scene where, as she was stripping, he said that he likes to take off his boxer shorts and, as he's taking them off, kick them into the hamper. And one of the lady animators that he was working with was like, "No lady never does that. Like, that's an old man thing only." And he was like, "Well, I thought it would be visually interesting, but she said that ladies don't do that. So I just had her kicking it onto the floor instead." But yeah, it's just every episode is so different, and it seems like they each got different themes out of this manga, and what they wanted to represent in this manga is very different. Episode 1 is a wacky, fast-paced comedy done by Akitaro Daichi, who did, like, Fruits Basket, the original Fruits Basket. Episode 4 seems like the most straightforward, like, romantic comedy style adaptation, and that was done by a director of Ranma One Half. It's just a really interesting show if you are an animation nerd, I would say. Episode 5 has some really art student style animation with crazy camera perspectives, and that was directed by the guy who did Food Wars and a bunch of giant robot anime like Gao Geiger.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just, it's an interesting variety, even though a lot of the episodes kind of cover the same content with, like, here she is hanging out naked around her apartment. She also has a boyfriend that's a total asshole and is openly cheating on her. Like, a lot of them deal with that, but they're all so differently portrayed, and just the behind the scenes stuff. Like, you can see which directors prefer to do, like, let the voice actress do their own thing and their own interpretation of the character, who has like specific ideas on how a specific line should be read. It's just really interesting from that perspective. One of the directors even compared it. He's like, this is the new pop team, whatever show this season, isn't it? And yeah. And I kind of agree with that. It's interesting.
Yeah, honestly, when I watched the first episode, I wasn't expecting what happened. Like, yeah, just like, it's a 3-minute anime episode, and then proceeded with the interview, like Mary said. Yeah, it was, I don't know, it might be hard for me to honestly watch more, but I definitely might try, or at least see what different art styles they, what art styles they do throughout the rest of the season. Though, it's fun. My fun means sucks that, you know, all the directors are old people, males, you know.
I mean, that's kind of just the anime industry at this point.
Yeah.
One of the dudes is actually younger, and he talks about how he's been in the anime industry since he was 19. But it seems like just almost kind of like the video game industry in the U.S., like, there is a lot of burnout, and you have to be, like, totally obsessed and super successful to keep going in that line of work. So, and it favors the old people that are already there. So yeah, it's definitely interesting from a production standpoint. Episode 2 is also written by Mario Koda, and it's very dark, and you can tell, like, she did it. It's neat to see so many people cover the same ground, I guess, for me.
Anything else to say about this fascinating anime?
The little art section at the end, even though it's kind of inessential, it is interesting to see, like, how different people deal with stuff now. Like, the rotoscoping stuff was interesting to see handled. A lot of people using tablets, how exactly they will draw lines. Sometimes they will just straight up overdraw and then use the erase tool to, like, round out corners better, and that's not any way you could draw, like, non-digitally. Just, yeah, stuff like that for nerds, I guess, if you want to see that kind of thing.
And it's cool that with the current anime landscape, thanks to Crunchyroll and all these other people, otherwise, I'm sure this would never got, like, translated into English if it wasn't for, like, Crunchyroll or what, or Funimation and whatnot.
Yeah, I think all of the competition and having to fight so many different companies for shows, a lot of the time people will, like, Crunchyroll take a weirder show like this just because they need to beef up the number of shows they have this season. And I'm probably going to be the only person who watches it, but I'm really appreciating it. And yeah, translating all of that interview stuff has got to be a super pain in the ass.
Yes. Though apparently Funimation is doing a dub for this, so I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know how they're doing it, but
I think there was a dub for Pop Team Epic that also had the same gimmick of different voice actors for every episode. So I can see how they just saw that and were like, that sounds cool, let's do that again. People liked it.
Yeah, Anime News Network is having different angles. English actors for the main character. Huh. So I'm sure they're doing different people for per episode, like you said.
That makes sense. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Weird. That's a very weird show, but a very fascinating for sure. I definitely want to keep checking it out.
You don't think so, Thoughton?
You don't think so?
I mean, I don't know. It seems okay.
Sorry, it's not your cup of tea.
It's not my cup of tea.
Unlike My Roommate is a Cat, which is clearly not your cup of tea.
I mean, it's a cat, so.
But for me and Mary, it is our cup of tea.
Strictly. I don't know. This show makes me sad.
Uh-oh.
Okay, it's a very sad show, yes, but I love it. It makes me cry.
Yeah, I was crying earlier today watching episode 6, newest episode, because, oh my god, I can't handle it.
Dude, the crows in Japan are apparently very vicious, killing cats left and right.
Baby kittens. Stray baby kittens. If you don't want to see baby kittens having a tough time being a stray cat and sad, like, guys that are closing themselves off from society because they're a wiener, don't watch this.
Wait, what? Oh, I think it's more because his parents died.
That definitely didn't help, but they show all the stuff from when he was, like, in elementary school and not talking to anybody and being happy because somebody checked out the same book he read and liked. Like, I'm like, oh, this poor little sad boy.
So, this anime, it's about a guy, he's also one of those book people, those nerds. Doesn't socialize much. And in high school, his parents died. Spoilers.
He's also a novelist. That's another spoiler thing. Well, not really.
He becomes a successful novelist. Novelist, which seems very unlikely in today Japan. But hey, what did I know? Maybe it's light novels. Who knows?
Well, he published his stuff in, like, it seems like it's serialized in a novel magazine, which I know that exists here too, but I've never known anyone to read those, not even my artsy-fartsy friends, so I don't know. Maybe it's different
Look, the brother of the lady who works at the cat shop, he does, so obviously everyone does.
You saw that bag of fan letters he got, too.
Exactly. So, that's probably the most not realistic part of the show. People who write novels in Japan. Because the law. That doesn't happen. It's about him and him not wanting to be a part of society, whatnot. But then, all of a sudden, when he goes to his family grave, he finds a cat. And the cat, like, gets into his offering to his parents' graves.
Actually, I think that was just his lunch he was going to eat there, sitting graveside, which is also very sad.
It's all so sad. It sounds so sad.
Yeah, but then he takes the cat home, and he soon gets a bond with the cat. Grab the cat.
There you go, Mary. Cat. Grab the cat.
There you go.
There you go.
Mary's wearing a cat.
There you
quickly
go.
Quickly runs away.
Quickly, he's like, I'm out of here. Fuck this shit.
I mean, we also got him. He was a stray as a kitten, too. So that's another reason why I could not handle this show.
Yeah. So one of the very awesome things about this show is each episode, the first two, usually the first two parts of the show, it's about, it's in the perspective of the human. The last third is rerunning the events of the show, but in the perspective of the cat. So seeing what actually the cat was thinking, like, usually when the cat's jumping around, we don't know why. We just think it's a fucking cat doing cat things. But then we learn that cat's actually, like, seeing the ghosts of the dead parents.
Because that happens. That's a normal cat thing.
And so we see the cat chasing the ghosts away. Oh.
Which also made me cry. The show is... I know it's ridiculous, but it's so sad.
Yeah, when he's looking at the photo book, it's... When he sees the note his mom wrote saying... trying to figure out what vacation spots he wants to go to, but him never wanting to go. But then him never wanting to go, but then his parents died, so he can never go to vacation with him again. It's very... It's super heartbreaking. It makes me want to cry right now. That shit's my jam because it's so But yeah, it's, you know, this is my type of show where it's fucking depressing.
I thought it was gonna be like How to Raise a Mummy, where it's cute and this dude learns to have a cat and it's super like cute and happy. And no, that is not what I got. It is depressing
and dark.
Okay, it's not depressing. Okay, it's very.
That's a little depressing. It sounds like I'm just gonna be real.
It's still very light. There's not a lot of comedy in the show. It's still very. There's still the fucking the assistant, the editor who comes in who just wants to touch the cat.
I want to touch the cat. Get it? All right.
Okay.
Now I can understand why he gets clawed up every single time if he's like that. Sure.
Karharu. And also the romantic love interest is very cute. She has her own cats. And oh my god, and when the two sibling cats reunite. Oh my god.
Well, that's good because it wasn't dead. Like, oh my god.
Like the other one? Look, only one out of the five siblings died.
Only one out of five? I mean,
and
come
they
on.
Keep flashing back to this dead kitten on the ground, and I'm just like, why do we have to do this every episode? Maybe now it's resolved finally with the backstory of the dead kitten, but Jesus Christ.
If we could, I would like everyone to watch the video I liked of an anime lady dancing. Thank you. It would make you feel better.
Yeah. But... No, it doesn't.
It does. It will. Just watch it.
Look, Haru, the name of the cat. And also, he doesn't immediately name the cat, and everybody's like fucking pissed he doesn't name the cat. So he finally names cat Haru, though of course cat thinks Haru means food. Because he only says it when he's feeding her. You know, cats, they're so stupid. Yeah, this show is amazing. It's obviously my type of show, like the maid show where the kid becomes a maid because his parents died, and also like the babysitter show from last year. It's, you know, it has its moments of, hey, these kids, their parents died. It's very sad, but hey, they're learning to live even so. And, you know,
I feel like this show gets even rougher than Gakuen Babysitters. Like, I can deal with like the baby brother getting a cold and being sick, or like running off and jumping off of somewhere and almost killing himself, but dead kitten and starving to death kittens, I can't. Oh,
look, we learned the backstory of Haru. It's fine now. We won't flashback to the dead kitten, probably.
I hope it's more like episodes where they take Haru to the vet, because I can deal with that. Like, that's fine. Or picking out a collar or whatever for the kitty. Like, give me more of that and less dead kitten, please.
Look, there was a water bottle with fucking cat food in it, and Haru had to push the water bottle to get the food out. It's very adorable. It's very adorable.
It is, but dead kitten.
Okay, well, I think it's enough. Dead kitten anime, it's the best anime of the season. Go watch. To me, not for anybody else. Probably everybody else would say Mob Psycho. Those people are wrong. Or Dora. Those people are wrong. It's the my neighbor is a cat. Roommate's a cat. If your neighbor is a cat, that's why it'd be pretty weird. Okay. So last anime we're gonna talk about here on this short-cated anime beginning winter season episode, The Rising of the Shield Hero. Why do you want to talk about this, Mary? What's so special about this anime?
What's so special about the show?
Well, the main reason I wanted to see it... I'm not going to let you talk, LB. I'm sorry. The main reason I wanted to see it is that David Penkin, who composed the music for Made in Abyss, is also doing the music for this show. But then I was also disappointed because it's kind of just generic fantasy music. Like, there was one piece that stood out. The end of episode 4 has a very beautiful song, but that was it so far. And it kind of doesn't make up for the story of the show, which is
problems.
Yeah.
I only watched like the first couple episodes, but... Like, it has a generic setup of, like, oh, otaku dude gets transported into this fantasy world. But some of the, I don't know, the morality in the show and, like, the stuff about the slaver and stuff. I don't know. It's
It's very yeah. Like the way they talk about how it's a matriarchy. So this evil bitch character, and she all her character is that I'm an evil bitch. Like there's no reasoning, there's no background. She's like, I'm an evil bitch. Main character, you raped me, and now you would be put to death because of our matriarchal society, but it's a good thing you're the main character. And
It's like the setup is kind of like to set up this dichotomy between the main character and everybody else who's been made to look like a shit heel, and it's some kind of revenge fantasy. I don't know. I feel like the writer has some issues.
Yeah, it definitely seems very, like, late edgy teens where you still think you know everything, and if only all the assholes around you would believe you and do what you wanted, everything would go perfectly. And that's not really how life works. I'm sorry, you can't buy a Tanuki girl slave, level her up a whole bunch, and make her a boobalicious adult. and then when she gets freed from slavery, she loves you so much that she gets the slave curse put back on her. I was willing to deal with, like, okay, it's an evil bitch character. Like, sure, fine, whatever. This is to make him, like, cynical and make him less naive, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But then when Raftalia is, like, freed from slavery by one of the other four heroes that are summoned into this video game Isekai, she's like, no, he was so nice to me. He gave me the Happy Meal at the pub and gave me medicine for my cold.
I bet he gave me the Happy Meal.
So he's obviously a good guy. Let me put that slave curse right back on my chest. Oh, I'm frowning because he's not looking at my titties. Like, it's...
Just go some places, huh? Yeah. All right, great.
And it's one of the biggest shows this season, and... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really?
Like, this is... What? This is
you seen the worst kind of show?
Online.
How is that an 8.5 on my anime list? What the fuck?
Yeah. Maybe it's because the fat chocobo that turns into a naked loli is also a character.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah. Mm.
No, I'm interested.
No, you got me. You had my attention, now you have my...
But I mean, like, I could see how this could be an interesting story. Like, apparently there are a lot of light novels, but I kind of don't, I don't know. It reminds me of the gore fantasy novels, like G.O.R. They made Mystery Science Theater 3000 movies based on, like, a couple of these novels, but apparently the later novels are all, like, weird slave girl porno, and it just made me think of that. Like, this is the anime version of this, kind of. And yeah.
This seems gross. I'll be honest. Well, nope.
It's weird because in the show, it's not... It's all kind of a slow roll kind of thing, except for the first episode with the false rape accusation. Like, the the dude is like, well, slavery is legal here, and everybody hates the shield hero, and nobody's going to join my party after that rape accusation. So I
wouldn't.
Slaves, so. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely problematic. And like I said, like, a lot of fantasy series have problematic elements in them, like fantasy racism, like that's very prominent in a lot of stuff, and it's in this too, but
it glorifies it almost in a way, or like it
just not necessarily glorify it, just it introduces those elements only for the purpose of making the character more of, like, a cynical badass, and, like, fuck all these people, everybody's a jerk. Like, maybe it does something later on down the road, but it's already at episode 6, and just the part where Raftalia puts the slave curse back on herself, even yeah. though
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's that was too much for me.
Yeah, that seems rough.
I don't want to blow your mind or anything, but this was originally a web novel.
Oh wow, so. Really? Oh.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
There you go.
I love web novels. It's all I read is web novels.
Well, there wasn't a publisher until it got really popular on the internet, so sure. This is like the Homestuck of anime then. But Homestuck's probably better. I shouldn't be shitting on Homestuck.
Don't shit on Homestuck.
Never shit. Go ahead. Homestuck. No one cares.
No.
Just like this anime. Oh, wait. I'm joking.
No, it's the most popular. Yeah.
It's 8.5 on my anime list. So somebody should talk about it.
It has to be good, right?
It has sounds to be like, good.
Sounds like my anime list is terrible. Nobody should look at it.
Boogie Pop has 7.03, and that's a fair world we live in. All right.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. Boogie Pop's a thing. I wanna watch more of it.
It's very good.
Yes.
Hot, fast take. It's all out of order,
more.
Man. Somebody messed up the order in here on the old Boogie Pop. And the thing I would say about Boogie Pop, since we're going to talk about Boogie Pop, is...
Are we? I didn't agree to this. No, we're not.
We're going
to
say, like, at the end of the season, like, sure. Get your thoughts.
The only thing I would say is the good thing about Boogie Pop that a lot of detective mystery shows don't do is because it's out of order, it puts you in the headset of trying to figure out what's going on, and that really works with a detective show. It makes you feel like, oh, I am the detective because I'm trying to figure out what the hell happened.
You have to piece it together from things that are out of chronology. That sounds pretty good.
It's very good.
Like her story, the game, and other games that have done.
It's my favorite anime of the season.
Just like Detective Conan, we have to solve a murder mystery every week. How did he get in the room and lock the door and get out and still murder that guy?
But
I guess we'll find out.
Is Detective Conan a like a spiritual detective? Like a mysterious angel?
No, he's just very smart. I argue it's even more realistic. If you're talking about fucking spirits over there, how are we supposed to figure it out if we don't know how the laws of that world work?
Doesn't he have, like, magic shoes or something, though? Like, detective... Or he talks into a bow tie and can make it sound like anybody.
Okay, he does... This a teenager does get physically turned into a kid. You're right. It's a little far-fetched, but it could happen. Unlike whatever happens in Boogie Pop.
Dude, Boogie Pop is so fucking good. Holy shit. It's a very pretty show. If you have a chance, just watch some of that.
Sorry, I can't hear you over this German that have a Detective Colin opening.
Pretty good.
It's too good.
Oh, and another cool thing, I think, actually, I don't want to keep really shit on the thing that I'm talking about. I think apparently was an anime adaptation in the early 2000s. Sure, apparently that anime covers a different group of people because this is a light novel. So before light novels were what they are today, but each light novel covered a different group of people and their like perspective on things. And apparently the anime back then was covering a different time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting how this is technically like a remake, but they're still very different, apparently.
Yeah.
And also, this is getting like 18 episodes or something. So, are two core, so
it's very good. I'm very excited. Boogie Pop is really good. Go watch Boogie Pop. It's probably the best anime this season, but we get to talk about it too much because it's all out of order, so there's not much to say.
The one with the dead kittens is definitely the best one.
That's not true.
Anyways, I think we're done here, people.
Any other ones you want to quick mention that we're watching? Anything else?
I haven't watched it yet, except for like 5 minutes after Mob Psycho, an episode of that with Gary, and it was too weird, so I had to turn it off. The virtual YouTuber anime. I plan on watching all of that before the next podcast, so get ready for that.
Good. Okay, cool. Oh, God. What is he watching?
Domestic Girlfriends is very problematic.
Yo, can we... Just say,
oh, No.
First episode, domestic girlfriend goes some places very fast.
Like down there?
Like, holy down shit. There? Okay. You should... It opens with them in bed together. I mean, that's just the opening. It just opens there.
Okay.
Do you like students?
Be normal. I don't know. Maybe not for anime.
Do you like students sleeping with their teachers? This is the anime for you.
And then also being siblings? Fucking nuts!
Oh, what?
Incest in my anime?
Oh,
it goes places.
He sleeps with a stranger, and then later on, it turns out they're step siblings.
But he also has a crush on a teacher related, he has, but so that teacher fine. Also turns out to be a sibling. It's unbelievable.
It is trash.
It's garbage, but watch it.
Okay.
That's all I have to say. Thank you. Watch
it. Anybody else?
Kaguya-sama, okay. Love is War. You should. It's a good show.
Watch. No, this
that
is
that rotoscoped good. Ending is pretty.
It's
fancy,
very good.
But,
it's
yeah.
very good.
I think we'll read the manga instead.
The manga is very good. Also, I read the manga.
And I will also read the manga of the Mystic Girlfriend because it actually shows nipples. So thank you.
Also, WZ, if you want to be tripped out with some visuals. Also, it's a sequel. How is it a sequel? I've never heard of that show. All right, that's all I have to say. Thank you. That's all my anime.
It actually does look pretty cool, but the CG is pretty, it's very glaring. But anyway. Also, the Quintuplets is actually a better show than it should be. It's kind of trash rom-com, but I actually like it. It's fun. Cool. Very etchy.
So, seems like anime is great.
Anime is very good. It's a very good season.
Maybe we were shitting on the season. I actually think this is a very good season.
I think this is better than last season, honestly. There are some bangers this season. Not the least of which is Mob Psycho, but there are some.
Yeah, I mean, Mob Psycho makes up for it for me. But where's my good moe show that I can watch this season? Where is it?
It's called Boogie Pop.
That's not moe.
That's at least moe.
Oh, we're finally getting to the theme of the podcast.
Yes.
This is the beginning of the episode.
It's a very on moe season. Gonna be honest with you, rating wise, we're looking at like a 3 or 4 out of 10 on the moe scale. So
the Promised Neverland is a very moe.
Until the end.
The body of that 6-year-old, very moe. I mean, that dead 6-year-old.
It is. Yeah, it plays with its moe aesthetic a lot.
Yes.
Actually, does a pretty good job with that.
Battle Angel, very so moe.
I mean, I did super want to protect those stray kittens, so I guess my roommate is a cat is a form of moe.
It's very low. It's like a 2, actually, now. I don't know why I'm thinking about it. It's a very low
I would moe. Say Reagan is very moe.
Sure. Yes.
Reagan, okay,
he's
sure,
the
president.
He's the helpless airhead kind. Yeah.
Dororo, very moe.
Dimple, also very moe.
No, that guy's a dick. What are you talking about?
Mahershala Ali, very moe. That's all I'll say, thank you.
Jennifer Connelly with that forehead gem, super moe.
You guys done yet?
No, we can keep going as long as you want it. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay, if I could mute you, I would mute you right now.
Okay.
We didn't talk about this before the podcast. We should have. Are we doing a forced anime this season?
Yes.
Yeah, let's fucking do it, my dog.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Let's do it.
Do you want to just? Everybody write one down they want to force somebody to watch, and then we pull one from a hat.
Here.
I can do it really quick on a piece of paper.
Okay, no.
I have a hat
right
here, actually.
No. Okay. Nope. Here. Okay. Mary is 323. Albie is 456.
456. Jesus Christ, I gotta write this down.
And I'm 284. That means I'm recommending something to Mary. Mary's recommending something to Albie. Albie's recommending something to Amir, and Amir's recommending something to me. That sounds good here.
All right, let's do it.
That sounds... Okay, everybody get that? Good.
Cool. Okay, I'm going to a mirror. Okay, all right. Okay, okay.
Yes. Gotcha.
Mary has me. I have Mary. A mirror. Okay. A mirror has Pop. Pop has Mary. Get it? So, mirror. Let me see what you got. Let me see what you're taking.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
I know what I'm going to recommend. That's easy. Okay, we're fine.
I'm scared. Do you want to watch The Promised Neverland, Mary?
Sure. That sounds interesting. It sounds like a Shonen Jump series that is not typical what I think of as Shonen Jump.
It's way better than My Hero Academia.
Okay, sold.
All right.
Okay, May, what do you want to give to Thouden?
As revenge for Aho Girl.
Like, how many times? Listen, you already revenged on me. I don't know how many times. How much
I
suffering?
Mean, that was a deep, dark hole
a deep cut.
That
All
I
right.
was put in. So now you get to go in another deep, dark
no.
hole. Field hero. You get
oh,
to see
no.
exactly
oh,
oh,
what,
no.
what
no.
modern
no.
anime
no.
fan craves.
No. Oh, that's terrible. I feel bad.
Oh, no.
And the first episode's like an hour long, too.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. What
and
have you done?
It's only 40 minutes. It's a double-length episode. No.
So bad. Okay, Thouden, your turn. What are you going to recommend? Just missed two names.
I'm trying to decide between two. Which one do you think sounds more interesting to you, Boogie Pop or Kayaga-sama Love is War? What are you feeling?
Let's go with Boogie Pop.
Okay, Boogie Pop it is.
What are you going to give me?
I mean, I guess the only show that I've seen that you haven't is the S.H.I.E.L.D. show, but do you really want to watch that?
No, we can't double up, so you have to make something else.
Oh, I don't think See, that we established that as a rule. Do it.
That's against the rules.
Do it.
So I just scroll through this list and find something I haven't seen that
Dude,
seems amazing?
Do the wrench
like,
on...
Like Shirley Air Force?
Oh no.
That's a moe show.
Yes,
do it to him.
In the Null story, mysterious flying creatures known as Zai suddenly appear, and in order to fight the creatures, mankind creates fighter aircraft called Donners.
Okay.
As well as automatic fighting mechanism Anima.
Okay.
Which are shaped like human girls.
Oh, of course.
No.
Oh, your
story centers on a young man. named Kei Narutani, who yearns to fly in the sky, and an anima
Oh my god, this is a real fucking show, isn't it? Oh no.
And an anima considered to be humanity's trump card, a girl named Gripen?
Oh no.
Oh yeah.
I may have to see some of this, because it sounds
cooked,
really dumb.
Man, you're really... I would have taken the S.H.I.E.L.D. show over that.
So,
well,
you did.
Oh, wait, okay, that's not that can't
you,
be.
You smoke.
Be serious.
It's a real show, right? Okay, what's your S.H.I.E.L.D. show then?
Okay,
fine. I'll do this Air Force show then.
Oh, I'm really
okay. I promise I'm gonna at least watch like three episodes of the show.
No, see, that's the curse. You both have to watch it all the way. Yeah.
Oh. Mm. So what have you watched the S.H.I.E.L.D. show?
Yeah.
I mean,
let's get in on the S.H.I.E.L.D. show, everybody. It's gonna be great.
That way
we can really have a deep
conversation.
Dive.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can all talk about the slave lady.
It's great.
Well,
Tanuki
this is great.
Girl and how people hate them because they grow really fast.
Yeah,
well,
what
something.
Do you prefer, Tanuki girls or planes that are actually girls or vice versa?
I probably get off on planes that are actually good more, so I don't know.
All right, let's do that.
Okay, there. Well, I'll do it. We're gonna girl show, I guess it is. Great.
Okay, yeah, that's the end of this.
This is the podcast. End of this podcast forever. This is how it ends right here. You're yes, all gonna give up.
You're joking, but your news that's you know. Okay.
Oh, anime is great, everybody.
Can you do the your stinger, Mary? Do the.
I don't know.
There you go. That's over. Top. It's
thank you, everybody. See you next week. That's
no,
all,
it's
folks.
Over. No, it's already over. It's
all, and, folks.
Nope. I couldn't nope. think of anything.
Like us on iTunes. It helps out the show.
It's
Twitter.com. At Romsbag. Tweet at us.
Podcast is already ended.
Popcans. He's on over? Twitter. It's not over.
Oh, it's over.
I'm editing the podcast. It's not over till I say it is. All right. Facebook.com/isitnoway.
We don't have a Facebook, don't lie.
Well, he's point. Mori o kaeri?